Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss me in the britches. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Team preview number 2. Jeremy Moss here hanging out with Matt Kennerly and Chris Hondress. And I'm pretty sure Chris is excited to talk about the Rebels program, correct?
Absolutely, I am. This is going to be a very optimistic show on my behalf.
Excellent. Our website. Yes, our website, mwcconnection.com, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes. Real quick question, do you guys use iTunes? Do you have an iPhone or something?
Nope.
Okay, just wondering. I have an iPad, but I don't use it for podcasts. I stick with the lovely Pocket Cast, which is amazing. So if you have that, you can find us there as well. And leave us a review to help us out, maybe spread the word, because I don't know how many people talk about this stuff as much as we do. I'm going to say none, maybe. Not many. Fair assessment?
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair, okay. Excellent. All right, so let's move on. This is all UNLV football. So, Chris, you want to start us off with your favorite non-alumni team?
I am an alumni.
Oh, I apologize. You got a degree there, year and a half ago?
I did not get a degree, but I have enough credits to constitutionalize a alma mater alumni status.
That works for me.
Can we just make a new rule where, like, if you went to the school, no matter for how long or how short a period of time, you get to be counted as an alum?
No, I think there's an actual,
Iona College.
I think there's an actual, like, minimal number of credits. Like, why? What were you hoping? Cal?
No. I was just going to say, we'll just count it. Make it simple.
I mean, I think we can do that.
You attended the school. That's close enough. Yeah.
Like, this is good. Okay. You guys go ahead and get started. I'm going to ask what minimal credits constitutes an alumni.
Associates or bachelor?
It doesn't matter. I'm Google searching this right now. Go ahead.
Okay, look it up. You find out too, because then I can count Iona College as an alumni when I went there for 5 semesters. So this week we talked about Hawaii last week. As Chris is typing away, before we get to UNLV, we haven't discussed socks in a while.
This is true.
Like, what socks? Yes, Bombas socks. If you don't know what they are, listen very carefully. Get your, as you hear Chris type in the background, I know he's looking up something else, but imagine he's going to bombas.com/Mountain West.
I may actually have you that open up in another tab right now.
Kudos to you. You get a 20% off your first order. And these are just great socks. Like, yeah, they donated a pair and you buy a pair, which is awesome to help people out who need socks. They've added a bunch of colors. So they have, Chris, don't you have like a neon fluorescent color socks of some sort? Boise State orange, maybe?
I have a set of 4 pairs that are all neon. I have a set of 4 pairs that are all black with some neon highlights. I for Mother's Day, they actually had the Mother's Day pack where you Basically, ooh, it came in like one of those knapsacks with 8 pairs of socks in them. And I bought that for my mother for Mother's Day.
Wait, did you use your code to get 20% off? Ooh, excellent. See, it can work for every occasion. I bought my wife a pair of neat,
actually, you know what?
Crazy socks.
Because these are awesome. I'm sorry, I did not, because I tried to use the code to get 20% off. But because it was the Mother's Day edition, it would not let me have another 20% off. Mm.
That's okay. Not a problem. But these socks, like, they're athletic socks. They have, they've had added a ton recently. I haven't checked their website in a while, but I need to buy a new pair. But these are great athletic socks. I've seen pictures of teams like Ultimate Frisbee teams get the bright green color for their team color socks. I have a pair of aqua blue right now. The coolest thing about Bombas, they're comfortable. I could wear, I've told Chris before, I can wear them multiple days in a row and not care because my feet don't really smell. That's a positive, right?
Yeah,
I'd say so.
Okay, just making sure. But the coolest thing recently, I bought a pair a while back. I got a hole in the side. I'm like, what? This shouldn't be happening to the hole. And I've only worn them like two or three times max, like wearings. And so I was fishing for something, but like, hey, Bombas, what happened to these socks? So I took a picture on Twitter, got a hole by my ball of the ankle. I'm like, hey, email us, chat with us. You know what they do? Send me another pair at no cost.
That's a
so they're pretty cool.
That's a company that cares about its consumers.
They do care. One last quick thing. Go check it out again. Bombas.com/MountainWest. And here's a hint. If you order once and like it, use another email. You can get the same discount because you're a new user, new subscriber, new person ordering. But they sell them at the Gap. Go look at them at the Gap. Touch them with your fingers, but buy them online with their code just so you get a feel for them. So check them out. Looks like they have a bunch of new colors, purple, bright orange, like different than the fluorescent colors. They have the one last thing. And this is for the ladies if they're listening. They have like the no-show socks you wear with like flats and stuff. You can pick up those as well now too. So there you go. Bombas.com/MountainWest. That's out of the way.
Well, now to UNLV football. UNLV Let's football. Start off with... I have solved our question. Uh-oh. Okay. What's the answer? So.
Can I guess? Typically, you need 120 credits to graduate in 4 years. So is it 60 credits?
I did not get an actual credit term, but I'm surprised Matt didn't know this, being the English guy. But I guess not, because it's Latin. So an alumnus is a former student or pupil of a school, college, or university. Commonly, but not always, the word refers to as a graduate of the educational institute in question. However, it can also be a former member, employee, contributor, or inmate, as well as a former student.
Yeah, you say inmate?
I think that's the British version.
Possibly, okay.
Whereas alma mater is an actual graduate of the university. So saying that Boise State was my alma mater as I graduated from Boise State.
I like our definition better. It's more inclusive.
I think it is so too. So basically.
Okay.
We're all alumni.
I am a Fighting Gael alumni. I got multiple alumni status. Excellent.
You better pay up your fees.
Technically three. I went to a summer at Salt Lake Community College to get my Spanish credits.
Pay up your fees, boy. Pay up your fees.
Excellent. All right, so let's get to this UNLV stuff. So let's recap a little bit from last year, a tiny bit. Tony Sanchez came from a high school program, and I was very skeptical. Chris was way more optimistic than I was, just because if you look at the history of a high school to college, FBS specifically, has been pretty terrible. But I think we can all agree, while the wins weren't there, Tony Sanchez and UNLV show that they're competitive with most of the conference.
Now, see, I would disagree because, you know, I was more on the pessimistic side too. So I was surprised because I thought that the wins were there. You know, they only won like what, 4 games last year?
They were 3-9.
They were 3-9, but that might have been like 2 more wins than I expected.
But that being said, they were beating San Jose State the whole game until the final minute. They were beating Fresno State until a crazy ass rainstorm, and they lost in the final minute. They stayed competitive with Boise State. They stayed competitive with Northern Illinois. They were beating Northern Illinois until midway through the fourth quarter. That was the season opener. This is a team that could have been at 6 wins last year.
Possibly. I just remember
they lost to Wyoming by
UNLV, the Boise State game, all the fans, it's a four-quarter game. I'm like, give them some credit. That was through three quarters, Boise State was struggling.
It's true. I mean, I was looking stuff up before the show, and I saw this thing where it said, against all but three opponents, UNLV was either leading or within one score in the fourth quarter, and ended up losing four of those games by 8 points or less, and then won in overtime. So that was a team that, you know, that a lot of the things I looked up, a lot of them had to say things about depth, which is something that UNLV, you know, as Tony Sanchez keeps recruiting, keeps bringing in very well-regarded athletes, that's a problem that'll fix itself over time. They weren't that far away last year, and I think that is, to me, is where the biggest surprise came from.
Also, they scored 80 points versus Idaho State. I don't care who you are. You score 80 points. Good job.
Yeah.
So let's start. Let's do what we did for our other previews, the Hawaii, and what we'll be doing going forward. Let's start with the quarterback position or offense in general. So Blake Decker is no longer there, which I think most fans are okay with, because he didn't have the best completion percentage overall. They brought in Kurt Palahniuk every now and then. It's between him and Johnny Stanton. And technically, if you look at the depth chart, Coach Sanchez had him as listed as or. However, he did mention that Stanton, who's a junior college transfer, had the slight edge because he could throw a bit better. He has the downfield passing, at least during spring practice. And we saw Kurt Palahniuk. It's hard to come off the bench cold and throw a lot. That's why he kind of ran a little bit. But that's going to be the big story heading into fall camp, because the rest of their offense is pretty solidified.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the articles I was looking at coming out of the Review Journal and the Las Vegas Sun, nobody seems to be fooled by the fact that Tony Sanchez listed them as Stanton or Palahniuk. You know, they seem to think that Stanton's probably going to be the starter when, you know, things roll around in September. And, you know, based on the numbers that he put up in JUCO last year, it's kind of hard to argue. You know, he had 27 touchdowns at Saddleback College out here in California. Passing.
Which is pretty good junior college, right?
He had 27 passing touchdowns, and he had 12 rushing touchdowns, too. You know, he was asked to do a lot for that team. And, you know, if you got a guy that's accounting for that much offense at a JUCO level, you know, obviously we all know that he has the Nebraska connection with their offensive coordinator, Barney Cotton. And he's kind of a big dude. That he was listed, I believe, at 6'2", 240. So, you know, if you got a big guy who can move a little bit and throw the ball like that, that can solve a lot of problems.
Damn it. You took what I was going to say literally right out of my mouth.
I apologize.
No problem. My only concern, now that being said, my only concern is that Blake Decker, remember, Blake Decker was a JUCO transfer as well. We saw how that worked out, which was to say not very well.
Adequate, I would be the exactly. best way to say it.
But that being said, even if you talked about Palahniuk versus Johnny Stanton, we can't ignore that somehow, some way, Tony Sanchez picked up a three-star freshman quarterback in Armani Rogers. He's not going to be playing this year, but he'll be redshirting. And this dude is is going to be a good future for UNLV as long as he doesn't transfer.
Definitely a good point. But what with Stanton? Like he said, he knows Cotton because he enrolled at Nebraska. But Sanchez even alluded to Stanton technically has the edge. And if you come in for any position, junior college or true freshman, early into school and can do spring practice, if you're not on the roster last year and you move up to be listed as a co-starter any position, odds are you're going to overtake the incumbent and be the starter come fall, because you just have more time to learn the system, more reps, and you were brand new, you were learning during the spring, but you're good enough to show you, hey, I'm as good as a guy who was here last year and already knows what's going on.
Okay, so here's a fun question for the both of you. Without looking it up, of the 12 teams in the Mountain West last year, where did UNLV finish in passing offense as far as yards per game?
Can I look at Blake Decker's stats? Is that okay or not?
No looking. Where do you think they ended up?
In passing offense?
Just in terms of yards per game.
Yards per game? I would say they're ahead of Air Force, ahead of Wyoming. I'd say they were ninth.
Okay, Chris, what about you?
I think they were a little higher. I think they were at seventh. If I remember correctly, they were passing about anywhere between 260 and 280 yards per game, right?
You were right and wrong. they actually finished fourth in the conference. They only averaged 211 yards per game. The big thing that stands out to me when I was looking this up is that their completion percentage is only 53.7.
Yeah, it's awful.
So, I mean, you've got to, you know, they were able to make plays here and there. I don't think they would have played so many close games if they weren't. I think.
Should we discount the Idaho State numbers, first of all?
Possibly, yeah. But, I mean, even if you remove that, you know, I don't think it takes that big of a step to, you know, to competency compared to what we talked about last week with Hawaii. You know, I think the benchmark for this offense, no matter who's at quarterback, is if you can get to 60%, you can probably make a bowl with that percentage. Because I went back and I looked at CFB Stats, which is everybody's favorite website. Mm-hmm. They've only reached 60% one year since 2008. And that was the one year they went to a bowl game.
Caleb Herring
in 2013.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, with the talent that they have coming back at other skill positions, which we'll get to in a minute, 60% is doable, I think, especially if Stanton is at quarterback.
So
I think,
and let's not forget, regardless of who is the quarterback, and let's not even say regardless of who's the quarterback. But despite the quarterback situation, you're having a pretty darn good 1-2-3 punch in running back and receiving core with Keith Whiteley lining up in the backfield and pretty much the two of the best wide receivers in the Mountain West, Devontae Boyd and Kendall Keyes.
Before you get to that, I still question Kevin Whiteley's ability to be that great of a running back. Because he did okay. And I should have his stats in front of me over like per game, but I think he has the potential, which is fine to say. But looking at last year, he wasn't as consistent as UNLV needed him to be.
See,
I think they need him to get about 1,200 yards by himself.
See, I think that, you know, like we talked about with the Warriors, I think it's the guys behind him who could make the biggest difference. You know, one of the guys that I guess caught a lot of people's eyes was Lexington Thomas. You know, on the year, his numbers don't look all that impressive, but you know, he averaged 6.2 yards a carry for one. And, you know, late in the year, he had a couple of back-to-back 100-yard games against Hawaii and Colorado State. So that's a guy, I think, who could play a factor. You know, he's kind of a Tim Cornette-type running back like Whiteley is. He might be a step faster than Whiteley, which I think is what's catching people's eyes.
Well, and not just that, but if you're not using small and speedy like Lexington Thomas, then you're using big and barreling. If I remember correctly, Xavier Campbell was the guy who was running up against the Cal State schools.
Yeah, he's 5'11", 220.
And he had a few more rushes than Lexington Thomas, a few less yards. But you're talking about a guy who's going to barrel straight up the middle.
That's true. I think their depth is good. And he was a freshman last year. I think their depth is fine. I just want to see – because if it's different than any position. Running back, you can have – these three guys are obviously the guys. I just think they need one guy to stand out because you're going to need a guy at some point in the game who's going to get me 2 yards or 1 yard, probably off of – the size and everything, I would go with Campbell because he's the big guy. But you're going to want a point where I need this guy in to make this play. Even if the whole defense knows what's coming up, they need to know their running back can get the 1 or 2 yards, and that's who they need to – that's where I want a running back to be. Like, I need 3rd and 1, 4th and 2, goal and third, 3 yards out from the goal line. I need to make a play, and we know we're running it. I need to know who's going to be that guy. Probably Whiteley, but that's why I want them to find out. So that's why – they need to have like an order. Whiteley probably one, then whoever else is after. But like Matt said, you want the backups, and they'll see plenty of time to make the big leap. I still want a go-to guy.
Well, and see, I think that's where having kind of a mobile, durable quarterback can help. Because if you're looking down the depth chart, Kurt Palandek had 400 yards last year, and he averaged 6.8 yards per carry. So if you can get a guy who can move in space, or, you know, a big guy like Johnny Stanton, who's bigger than any of the running backs who are going to be behind him, you know, if you need that 1 or 2 yards, you know, if in that offense, you can't be afraid to call the quarterback's number. I think that makes
true.
I think that makes that offense more flexible.
Do you have really quick Stanton's rushing numbers from Saddleback?
I actually just closed that tab.
No, that's okay. No, that's fine. That's no worries. But because Palandek had those many yards partly because he came in as a change of pace guy from Decker. So I think they have it all there. I just want to see, like, Whiteley had 3 touchdowns. That's it. I just want to see they don't fumble the ball all that much, a little bit. They had a few, but I just want a guy to – he's my guy who's going to get me 85 yards a game minimum for my starter. And that would put you –
So yes. He had he rushed 183 times last year for 752 yards.
It was 4.1 yards per carry. And then in conference play, whatever that means, it was 5 yards carry.
Yeah.
Oh, for Stanton?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe they don't need – so if he can do both jobs, there's no reason – I don't think Palandek should be the starter then. Because Stanton can already has the edge now. I think are we in all agreement that Stanton probably will be starter versus Jackson State week one?
Probably.
I mean, if it were me, that's the move that I would make. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris?
Okay, so went over running backs, quarterback. This receiving corps, like Chris said before, could be the best in the conference. You have Devontae Boyd, who's probably. I think he'd be the best returning receiver in the conference. I don't know who else would be anybody else you could think of that challenge him for number one.
Spurbeck.
Oh yeah, Spurbeck. Sorry about that. Yeah, Chris, how can we get come with that faster?
Because I'm like trying to read UNLV statistics right now, man.
No, I'm sorry. No, I was just the top of my head. I'm just thinking, but he's up there. And then apparently in UNLV, reading like from the Sun, the Review Journal, and what Coach Sanchez has been saying. They love not just Kendall Keys, but who's the redshirt freshman there? Shoot. Crap, I should look it up. There's some freshman they on the roster. I'll look what I wrote because I remember I put an article a while back.
Darren Woods Jr.
What was that? You guys both said at the same time. Andre Collins Jr., you said?
I said Darren Woods Jr.
I don't see him on the roster.
Was he the ad?
I'll look at I'll look it up in a second, but they basically said like they have a guy like I know it's spring football, so everybody's optimistic, but they're saying this could be the best receiving corps in the conference, which with Devontae Boyd right there, that's a pretty big step to be at that level.
Yeah, I mean,
so my only concern about Devontae Boyd was this: Bill C listed his catch rate as 51.4%. He's targeted over 100, but he was targeted 105 times, only caught it 54 times, which, I mean, that's a side result of being double teamed almost all the time.
And a quarterback who can't
throw
very
well.
But if
you look at those numbers and then you jump down to both Whiteley and Lexington Thomas receiving out of the backfield, those catch rates jump up to 81 and 83% for an average of 7 and 8 yards. Reception, which means that if you have those small little wheel routes or those little fade routes and you just have enough time, those running backs are going to get the job done for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, opposing defenses had to know that Devontae Boyd was coming. So he probably saw more than a lot of single coverage last year. And when you think about the kind of quarterback, you know, flux that they had going on throughout the season, you know, he pretty much had the same season last year that he had the year before that. You know, the numbers were a little bit down, but his, you know, yards per catch actually went up a little bit. So I think with all of that in mind, you know, if you can get a guy under center who can get him the ball, you know, you're looking at a guy who's an all-conference player, basically.
Oh, no, he is good. He is all-conference player. It's and last year, wasn't Devontae Davis on the team last year as well?
No, I don't believe so.
2 years ago.
Or was that 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago.
Okay. Because it's going to be, like, double team's going to happen, but if you have a more accurate quarterback in Stanton, assuming we all think he's the guy, they can't double as much if he's throwing to spreading it out more, but and also a more accurate quarterback. They're still probably going to bring coverage, but if these other guys are as good as people are saying, they may not be able to double him as much as they want.
Yeah, I mean, if we're thinking about other guys, you know, who are coming up behind him, you know, highly touted Sanchez recruits, you know, we want to think about a sophomore, Brandon Presley, who, you know, in Bill C's preview is listed as another three-star recruit. You know, he's familiar with the system. He could step into a spot role and he could contribute, you know, 30, 40 catches and take pressure off the starters.
Yeah, this offense, like, I'll find that guy in a minute. It's annoying me. I can't find it. But they had looks like kind of like we said with Hawaii. I know we're going to oversell probably every team here. I don't think there's a team we really hate. For the most part, we'll find all the good stuff because who wants to be negative this time of year? Because we got that criticism before. But they have the talent. Looks like the talent's coming through because if you look through the recruiting classes before, like, they're still bringing a talent without winning games. But then we go to the line, like, the offensive line is the one concern I have offensively. Even with the new quarterback, even Palindex considered new for how much little he played, the offensive line is probably my biggest concern because they have five guys who started last year, three double-digit guys starting, and the guys they lost were 2 year starters, almost year and a half starters, but they had to replace their right guard and left guard position, and they'll have some inexperience for the other starting positions and most of the backups. And this area is where probably my most concern offensively.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking to try to establish some kind of inside running game, you know, what you hope for going into fall camp is that the guys, you know, who took over, like a guy like Chris Lopez especially, can, you know, kind of seize the starting role at that guard spot so that the guys, because the guys behind him in the backfield, they aren't power guys. They're probably speed guys. So they're going to need that offensive line to coalesce sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a feeling that you see four new guys who still have not played or have not at least played in 2015. And three of those four stars are three-star guys. They're both ranked. Most of them are ranked higher than the current guys they have now. You've got to assume that Michael Chevalier is going to get in there at some point. He's 300 pounds, 6'3", 300 pounds, as well as Justin Polu. Those guys.
There you go.
I mean, those guys are probably going to easily see some action at some point this year.
And like I said, you got Jackson State week one. That should ease everybody in. And I think they'll be okay. Because how many, like, looking at sacks, were they, I don't think Palindek or Decker sacked all that often last year.
If we're thinking about, like, Bill C's adjusted sack rate, they ranked 109th.
Never mind.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of that may have been Palindek and Decker kind of holding on to the ball a little too long, trying to make plays down the field, which, you know, with the skill position players they had, makes sense. But it's the kind of thing that you want to try and improve upon. They gave up 33 sacks last year, which was next to last in the conference.
Did Boise State give up more sacks? It felt like they did.
So,
Boise State was at 31.
Close. So is this kind of like Hawaii's thing? If they're off, like, more micro here, but if their offensive line can improve that to be middle of the pack, then their offense should be a mid-average at worst in the conference. Whereas we said their defense, if it's average, it'll move up quite a bit.
I'm like such a homer here. I think yes and more.
Go for it.
I honestly think right now, and this is just complete wishful optimism, that looking at the looking at the recruits that Sanchez is bringing, looking at the growth that this offense could be getting, if you get the defense to possibly be as effective as the offense, I think 2 years looking two, maybe 3 years down the line, you're looking at UNLV as a Western Division contender.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. You know, one of the things, you know, if it's about depth, then, you know, bringing in big dudes, especially on the offensive line, you know, if you're even going further down the depth chart to guys like Julio Garcia and Jaron Caldwell, those are guys that – those are 300-pound dudes that UNLV just didn't have last year. So, you know, if you were working them into the offensive line rotation somehow – hopefully they aren't hit too hard by injuries, but if, you know, if one of those guys can step in for spells throughout the year, you know, not only does it have long-term benefits, but it's not unreasonable to think that it can help them in the short term as well.
Well, look at the West outside of San Diego State. Who would you pick second? It's so open. Like Nevada could be there. I could see UNLV. I could see a couple teams being second place. It's open this year to challenge for the second spot, I think.
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible.
All right, so let's go to the defense a little bit. So one thing I noticed they need to do better, they need to not allow teams to run up the middle on them and just run at will. They were one of the worst teams in the country, giving up over 6 yards of carry on the ground game. The good news is they bring most everybody back. But of course, the bad news is it's all the guys who weren't very good last year coming back.
Yeah, and they didn't do any recruiting, really, for the defensive line. I mean, they lost three guys, but they had such a surplus of guys from before that looks like Kent Bear is trying to find three or four guys to just consistently make it work instead of rotating all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
they have.
Go ahead, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, like, they have guys of size, which is like returning guys. I don't know how they give up this type of running game when a pair of linemen are way over 300 pounds. How do they not disrupt more to help linebackers do that much better? Because if you're eating up space, that if you have those pair of guys of what Jason Fowler and Mike Hughes. That's 610 pounds of just massiveness on the front line. They combined for 37 tackles last year. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's, you know, if we're talking about depth, you know, one of the things that Bill C pointed out is they're kind of uneven rates at which they were allowing yards per play. You know, he was saying in the first and the third quarter, they allowed less than 6 yards per play. But in the second and in the fourth quarter, it was over 6.5. So, you know, you may have those big guys in the middle, but, you know, if the opposition can figure out what you're trying to do, those guys are getting worn down.
Oh, exactly. True. Yeah. If you're late in the game and it's like the Boise State game. They were in it, but then the fourth quarter just got ran over.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think what hurts more, I think, on the offensive line, or not the offensive line, the defensive line, is the fact that UNLV basically didn't have a pass rush last year. You know, they only had 8 sacks as a defense last year.
Wow.
And, you know, against the passing challenged teams in the West, that's the kind of figure that almost has to improve this year. You know, you have to hope that those guys are going to be able to get more rest by, you know, having better guys behind them and being able to just kind of improve just by virtue of having more guys who can be more productive.
Yeah, it's not a good thing when your leading tackler on the defense was last year's graduating senior free safety. Yeah.
Blake Richmond.
You're absolutely right. A pass rush.
Wait. One step further. Penny Vea, actually, second leading tackler, 65.
Brian Michelinen, the linebacker, had 16.
No, I'm sorry. But still, you're two safety, defense, two safety.
And their names
that
are not
tackles.
Troy Polamalu.
No. So, Chris, what do you think they need to do defensively? Like, the secondary, we mentioned they lose those two guys. But they bring back Torrey McTyre, 10 pass breakups. If he could, like, here's what they need. They need opportunities. You get 10 pass breakups. If you turn that into 3 interceptions, 4 interceptions, that's a season changer right there.
Yeah, I feel like this year's defense for UNLV, I think secondary is going to be a slight weakness. Unless Torrey McTyer puts up those Blake Richmond and Penny Vea numbers, which he might. And I remember Troy Hawthorne actually being very decent, pretty darn good when he played as well. But I think your pass breakups, I think your biggest production from the defensive side will actually just come from the aforementioned Ryan McAleenan and Tau Lotulelei. I mean, Tau Lotulelei was basically touted as one of the best players on the defense last year. He's certainly going to be the star of the defense this year, and he's got a and he has to have a name to show for it.
All right, should we get to games?
Why sure.
Not? Okay, just making sure. Unless you got one last thing to add about the roster, anybody? Are we good to go? We don't need to talk about special teams, do we? I'll take that as a no. That's okay. Just don't screw up, right? Is that the basic goal for special teams? All right. Games. They open up... crap, I got last year's schedule. Jackson they open up Jacksonville State. State, correct?
Jackson State, yeah.
Jackson State. Sorry, not the old... Not Jerry Rice's alma mater. That was Jacksonville State, I believe. Or no, actually, that was Mississippi Valley State. I'm also incorrect. All right, so they'll beat Jackson State. They go to UCLA September 10th, taking on Josh Rosen, Jim Mora, and that group of guys. Any confidence level they will do better than last year?
Well, I mean, wasn't that one of those instances where UCLA had to battle them for about a half before pulling away late?
Yeah, and not only that, UCLA is not, if I remember correctly, UCLA is sort of looking at a down year this year. Now, don't get me wrong.
No. Paul Perkins is gone. Don't get me wrong.
UCLA is still going to easily win this game. But they are, UCLA is not going to be your top 25 team this year. I think it.
But they have the Rosen one. What's
one
wrong?
Offensive player a team does not make. Even if you are Texas A&M and Johnny Football.
And they lost their best. Hey, they had Mike Evans. He was probably just as good.
But I think if UNLV can keep up that kind of pressure like they did last year, once again, just showing improvement. There's going to be an L to show for it, but it's just showing improvement, and that will definitely help when it comes towards the next 2 weeks when it comes at Central Michigan and then home versus Idaho.
Yeah, I think I would tend to agree. I think that, you know, I think UNLV's secondary is going to be better than a lot of people think because they have a lot of experience coming back. You know, not only McTyer, Troy Hawthorne, but, you know, other guys like Tim Huff, Kenny Keyes, who are very quiet contributors in their own ways. And I think that that's, you know, if the pass rush can show any signs of life against a team like UCLA, you know, that's the kind of thing that could make the game uncomfortable late. You know, especially if UNLV figures out their quarterback situation too. You know, if they can move the ball a little bit, which they weren't able to do against their Power Five conferences a year ago. You know, I'm not going to say that UNLV will win this game, but I think that they could cover a pretty wide margin.
Well, and remember that this was the game last year that the Rosen won, Josh Rosen. Really struggled. He went 24-51 against UNLV last year.
Yeah.
So, against a better pass rush, possibly?
Yeah. You think so, right? So, I think it's all loss. I'm trying to pull up the power index to see what the percentage is, but I think it was single digits. They're not going to 3%.
Yeah, Bill Connolly has it at 3%, which sounds about right.
Oh, yeah, why am I not using his numbers? What am I being a dummy for? Sure. He's a smart one. So Last year, apparently, the win expectancy was 0%. That's, oh well. Okay, next game. My internet stopped. What's the next
Central
game?
Central Michigan.
Road, correct?
On the road. It is Mount Pleasant, right?
Am I being overly optimistic by saying this should be a win? I mean, the win probability is 22%, which is not good. Yeah.
Really?
Well, Central Michigan's a pretty good team. They weren't that far away from winning the MAC West last year.
True.
I think they kind of tripped at the finish line, and they've got a quarterback coming back who threw for almost 4,000 yards last year.
No, I'm sorry, that wasn't PJ Fleck. That was my bad. Sorry.
No,
he's
Michigan.
Row the boat. Row the boat. Come on, don't you know that?
Cooper Rush is the quarterback at CMU. So, you know, he's a guy who, again, I think the secondary could challenge him and make it. I mean, I don't know if I'm confident in saying they'll win this game either, but it's definitely a toss-up, like a 50-50 kind of thing.
Well, and last year we were saying, I was saying at least that UNLV could sort of make it close versus Northern Illinois. I don't think any of us expected them to lead the whole game. And that NIU team was decent, not great. This CMU team is just about the same. Why not?
I think they'll have to outscore them to win this game, though.
And I think they probably could. I think they could probably win like a 30-27 game or something like that. I have a feeling it's going to be like that one way or the other.
I just think we can agree a blowout's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Next week, Chris, do you want to take this game? Future
so
FCS
therefore,
Idaho
if
Vandals.
Somehow makes a bowl. It's not because they beat two FCS teams this year.
Boom! Got it!
Oh, that felt so good to say.
So what was your excitement level when
actually,
you heard they're dropping down a couple weeks ago?
I think it is a little sad. I think in a lot of ways the Idaho administration has kind of done this to themselves. And really nobody likes to see that. And as much as I enjoy Schadenfreude, when Boise State's the one doing the Schadenfreude or any other FBS team.
All right, so this is a home game, so this should be a victory, correct?
Yeah, I think Idaho could make it interesting. They have a few pretty decent pieces coming back.
They've got a good quarterback coming back.
But this is the kind of game that UNLV should win. If they want to be taken seriously in the Mountain West, they're going to have to.
Are they at the point where we can say this is a sure win at all?
No, but it's better than 50-50 to me.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, I agree.
I'm not exactly agreeing with Bill C's numbers at 55% here. I think it's more of a 70-30.
Do they still have that wide? I should look this up. But do they still have that wide receiver, or did he leave school?
Yeah,
or something?
I think he finally
or get kicked out of school.
I know that you're talking about him. I think he finally got kicked out.
Okay, just went. There's a guy who was actually pretty good on their team. So, well, since that game should be a victory again, I don't think we're at a point where they're going to win for sure. But I think, like I said, we're confident that should be a victory, and that puts them at two wins.
Oh, 2-2
halfway. Yeah. Oh, two, maybe three, but Jackson State, Idaho, and then Central Michigan is probably the baseline where we're getting iffy, where not surprised if they win or lose that type of game. All right, so thank you, Firefox.
State.
What's the next game, Chris?
In Vegas. That's
Is this payback?
Payback for the rain gods, you mean, from last year?
Vegas could use some water.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years, these games have been really weird. Not just the one last year where UNLV, they missed a field goal late and then turned it over on downs to secure a Bulldogs win. But even the year before that, when UNLV came back and won it in overtime, right? It's a hard game. It's a hard series to figure out. But I think if it were me, and I hate to do it, But I think UNLV would probably win this game.
Yeah, the S&P ranking for Fresno State is really, really low. And I, like I said, this 94 low. And Bill C's probability is sitting at 41% win chance for UNLV, which is it's one of those never tell me the odds things. 41% is actually pretty darn competent by UNLV standards.
See, to me, I think this particular matchup depends on how much they establish the running game. Like if they can run the ball better than they did last year, because in last year's matchup, they only ran it for like 3.9 yards a carry. If they can chew up the Bulldogs defense the way that a lot of other teams did last year, you know, that's a game that they should be able to, you know, win.
Well, and Fresno State's losing their best defender from last year as well.
Yeah, they're missing a couple of critical pieces. And well, I think the defense will, it almost has to be better than last year. We'll get to that at some point. But, you know, that was one of the games where, at least on the ground, they put together one of their best efforts of the year. And so I think whoever wins that matchup is going to win that game. And right now, I would put that money on UNLV.
That makes sense because Fresno, we don't know the running back. We don't know the quarterback. And while you think their defense should be better, they lost a couple, like say, key pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm agreeing with Matt, although part of it's Homer saying UNLV should win this game, but also part of it's Tony Sanchez is kind of figuring out what he wants as a revenge tour every year. And part of it is how strong is this team going to be 5 games in? And I think that's a third or fourth win, depending on your point of view, for UNLV.
I'm leaning toward that because at this point in the season, UCLA is going to be tough, and they're going to have confidence playing them how they did last year. The schedule's not overbearing, so we'll know who the stars are of this team by week 5. You're almost midseason. You should know, okay, this guy, like, who's player A, B, or C down the line? Like, we'll know the running back rotation. We'll know, assuming Johnny Stanton, how good he is at quarterback. And I think that they have more together than Fresno State does, I think, even with the new quarterback. And I would lean toward a UNL victory in the offseason. So, UNLV victory, UNL yes. Victory. Is that what I said?
I like that.
I almost like that better,
There you go. Is that a new There you go. UNL victory.
You're welcome.
All right, maybe I'll name that. Wonder if we could get away with that. I should really look into it. So, next game, at Qualcomm, at the cavernous and echoey Qualcomm. San Diego State is probably going to win quite handily. I don't see a reason where UNLV should be, they should be competitive, but I don't think they'll win this game.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be quite the blowout it was last year, just because it seems like it would be kind of mean to forecast that kind of victory. But I think that this is a game that the Aztecs should win comfortably.
Yeah, this game should not be close. It should be probably about a 14-point victory.
How do you think UNLV could be victorious against the Aztecs?
Pass rush.
Yes. You mean make them pass? You should say stop the run to make them pass.
See, to me, I think it's...
Stop it. It's tough.
I think a lot of their success is going to come if they can establish the running game. Because last year, you know, against San Diego State was their worst performance as a team on the ground. They averaged, you know, 2.5 yards carry on 32 attempts as a team. You know, if you can get closer to average on the ground and, you know, make some plays over the top, that, I think, is the recipe for being competitive in that particular game.
I agree. You can't not run the ball. Can't go that far ahead, but if Stanton can throw pretty well, that'll help out in that regards anyways. But I think that's the key. My opinion has got to be, can you slow down Donnell Pumphrey at all? Like, their defense rushing last year was terrible. This is one of the games that gave up over 6 yards per carry. And Pumphrey's probably a top 10 running back in the country. If you don't slow him down, I don't care how good your running game is itself. You're not going to running back versus running back, if that's what it comes down to. Donald Pumphrey will eventually wear you down for that UNLV defense, which already wasn't good last year.
No,
can't argue.
Yes, victory. Got one. All right, so next week, the not quasi-rival, I think this is their... Chris, is there a trophy for those Hawaii
there UNLV should be. Games? The Ninth Island Trophy needs to happen.
Why is there... We have the the Hawaiian Cowboy... What's Palmiolo the actual name trophy. Of the Hawaiian Cowboy Trophy? Palmilolo. And it's actually lost in the moment, isn't it? Is it somewhere lost? Yeah. Oh, they did. But I think what would this trophy be?
I think it the just Ninth needs Island? To be like a picture of like the city of Las Vegas, like on an island.
Would this... I assume this... I think Matt would agree with me. This is a... more logical rivalry than was it UConn-UCF or
the
something?
Conflict?
Was that the conflict? Did conflict. We call it? Did we call it the conflict or? Oh my goodness! No. Yeah, you're right. That's such a stupid name.
Daniel, get your guys
such
in order
a
there.
Dumb name.
Maybe we should make a trophy T-shirt and mail it to the winning team.
What are our like legal rights of doing that?
What do you mean? Here's a T-shirt. You say, congratulations, you beat Hawaii, or congratulations,
next
you beat UNLV.
The NCAA sanctions Mountain West Connection for sending free T-shirts.
Hey, Chris, don't send it because you're alumni, technically. So I can send it or something. But this game, it's always, like we said last show, we talked about this game as well. It's kind of... they're always pretty close because both these teams, at least fairly recently, haven't been very good. It's at Hawaii, so I forget what we said last week, but I think I said UNL victory. Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I said UNL.
Crap, we should write this stuff down more in detail. No, I was the dumb one who said Hawaii's going to win, but Hawaii's going to... No, I didn't. Wait. Whatever. Oh, no, I remember what I said. Sorry, this is excellent stuff here. I said Hawaii's going to beat San Jose State, but lose to UNLV, which is weird. But UNLV probably should win, right? What is it? It's a 44% win total, win percentage from Bill C for a road game. So that's pretty big for being at Hawaii, too. They are weird. So we.
Matt, are you on a win on here? Did you say lose?
We discussed last week.
I'm trying to remember what I said last week because I know I had said whatever I said last week. Go back to last week's podcast and take my word on that.
Well, you said two. You were low. You said 2-11. So
yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'm sure that was remember what the two was because I remember it might have been
FCS. No, yeah, it was UMass right, yeah. In the FCS game, I believe.
Okay, yeah. Then whatever I said last week, let's go with that.
All right, Colorado State.
Hey, go. Where's this game at? Oh, it's Sam Boyd. Sorry, Sam Boyd. I have it right in front of me, but my spinning wheel's going.
At the new $1 billion stadium
page.
For the Las Vegas Raiders.
That's not going to be built yet. This is an interesting game because the Rams. Assuming Nick Stevens is the starter, they have their quarterback. But they lose Rashard Higgins. Their running game is just okay last year. It's Mike Bobo's second year. I don't know what to make too much of this game sitting here in, less than 100 days before the season kicks.
Now, see, this is the thing where UNLV's rushing defense has to improve because it was the Rams game last year where they had their absolute worst performance. You know, they gave up over 7 yards a carry to Colorado State a year ago. And if they do that again, they're going to lose this game.
They'd lose to Jackson State if they did that.
That's probably true.
So this is kind of this is where it's going to be like a super interesting stretch for UNLV. Starting October 15th at Hawaii and then going to and then finishing up November 12th versus Wyoming. Those four games, I think, will be the biggest indicator of whether or not UNLV will actually make a bowl game. Because I can totally see these stretch of four games, UNLV going either 0-4 or 4-0 or somewhere in between.
Even Even Wyoming after a bye week, losing that game.
We're still not sure what to think of Craig Bowles' offense yet, because does he have everything running there without the Cowboys and Laramie?
He's got Brian Hill, man. That's all you need, right?
Maybe that's all you need against a weak UNLV defense. But,
oh, zinger. No, you're right, though, because those, like, it's where if you look at the numbers, it's also 44% chance they'll beat CSU. And CSU, they're still, I got to look into them a bit more. But like I said, new Mike Bobo second year. They're replacing for sure. Joe Hansley is at the Raiders, I believe, got picked up there, I think. They're losing a lot of talent, but they're also bringing back talent. But we don't know what Mike Bobo is going to do with who he has coming back. I would lean toward the Rams winning just because I can still say it's still UNLV. That's a dumb answer, but
yeah, I'm going to say Colorado State wins this game as much as I don't want to say it. Yeah, I think it's very possible. I think it's going to also come down to the wire.
Or is Mike Bobo just going to run the ball?
Run the dang ball, Bobo.
Exactly. There you go. And at this point, too, we'll get to the stretch. We don't need to do specifically this game, but at this point in the year, still not a bye week yet. And that's where, like we said early on, when Matt and everything say depth is going to be key, that will really be the key. What's this, seven games in and no bye week yet? Is that correct?
That would be eight games in,
Nine games in. Colorado State. Nine, game number nine.
Eight games.
No, I can't count. Eight games, sorry. Nine games before the bye. That's where I was coming up on there. So I don't think the win, partly because the Rams are probably better, and I don't trust the depth that UNLV has yet, and they're any team playing eight straight weeks, they're going to be tired. It's going to be an issue. And I think San Jose State could be the same thing. I think Kenny Potter could be the best quarterback they faced after Josh Rosen at that point, I believe. And I don't think they'll beat San Jose State.
Neither do I.
I have a feeling San Jose State's going to be like the team I crap on the most. I already have Hawaii beating them from last time. Even though Kenny Potter's I don't know. I just feel that way because I picked Hawaii to beat the Spartans for some reason.
Chris?
Anything about Tyler Irvin not being there? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, but how much of a home crowd does that really take into effect? I think just week nine.
Good point.
Finally, you're approaching a bye. I think this is going to be a second straight close loss for UNLV.
Yeah, Kenny Potter's a good QB. You got Billy Freeman there, but yeah, it's even without Tyler Irvin, it's tough. They get the bye week. Wyoming, like, I know everybody knows Brian Hill's a very good player, and he's probably, if Wyoming's terrible this year, he's probably going to go to the NFL after his junior year, but I could see Wyoming winning this game because it's like with San Diego State. Brian Hill will just wear you down the whole game. And he could get one of his patented 250-yard games on 12 carries or something against UNLV's defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, to me, I think, you know, if Wyoming can improve their pass defense, that's what's going to make this game really competitive. But, I mean, I think I like UNLV's quarterback situation more than I like Wyoming's secondary. So I think
it was terrible last year.
Yeah. So I think that UNLV could probably rebound after the bye week and win this game.
I'm with Matt on this. I think this having this game at home, getting off the bye week, this is definitely a game that UNLV should win. And really, once again, Tony Sanchez revenge tour. This is a game that they probably will win.
Do you 56%. Guys have the percentage odds of this victory in front of you or this game? Oh, you do? Okay. Dang it. It's just about as good as the Idaho odds, which is kind of surprising. Is Wyoming going to be that bad, or am I jaded because Brian Hill's such a good player that I think that this could be a somewhat exciting game, and Wyoming could be secretly decent this year.
I think a lot of it depends on how the defense rebounds, because it was not very good last year.
It's always the defense. Now they have it. Who's their quarterback? It's going to be the Indiana transfer, I believe. I think he's going to be the guy.
No, he left.
Oh, he did leave as well? Okay. I'll get on top of that when we talk Wyoming later in the offseason. And I know they still have Tyler Gentry back, but wide receiver. But yeah, UNLV should win this game, because unless the only way I could see, I'm not going to say it's a guarantee, but with Brian Hill and that, with what he could do, again, I'm going back to that. But if he goes for 200 plus yards, they're going to be in this game. And that's what I think it'll come down to. It'll be a game probably closer than people think, but I would still agree with you guys that it should be UNLV with a win.
Yes.
Christopher, they go to Boise State.
Friday night, no Friday chance. Night. I don't know if this is homecoming or not, but remember that this is year number 30 of celebrating Blue Turf. I don't think Boise State wants to mess any of that up in terms of celebration-wise, so I don't think there's a chance here.
Even I don't think so either, because of Brett Rippon another year. They don't run. Wait. Should Sanchez put in the triple option for this week?
Quite possible.
I don't know if you could install it in 1 week.
He had to buy a week before, just blow off the Wyoming prep.
I mean, this is another one of those things where if you give Brett Rippon all day to throw, he's going to pick you apart.
Yeah, throwing him to Thomas Spareback, Shane Williams Rhodes. Yeah, he got plenty of targets to throw down the field.
And so with that in mind, I think Boise State would probably win that one pretty easily.
I think this is reverse revenge, Chris. Boise State wants to crush them because
like
of
I
last
said,
year.
30 years on the blue, celebrations, kind of a little bit sting from last year,
even though they blew them out last year. They had 20, like, by 30 points, I think.
There's no chance.
And it's also their final home game of the year outside of if they do make the title game. So even more, if they're undefeated at that point, even more incentive to finish it off and beat them. I think it'll be similar to last year, but maybe not as prolonged as last year, where it went to the early part of the fourth quarter before third quarter. Boy, I think Boise was driving late in that game in the third quarter. It'll be maybe like the UCLA Northern Illinois game, Michigan game, where they're good for a half, but then Boise State just rips off 42nd half points or something. And this could all change. We're sitting here 3 months before the season, so stuff can happen. Final game.
Cannon.
I'm on the Boise State schedule. Excuse me. Final game.
Finally,
the right weekend. Finally.
I'm one of those people who says UNLV what? Nevada should be on Halloween for Nevada Day. That is a thing.
Is that a thing? Okay. You're the expert there, so I'm just wondering.
But in general, this is the correct weekend for a rivalry.
Matt, what do you think about this game? Yes, it is. So, Matt, what do you think about Nevada and this kind of matchup for the Fremont can.
The Rebels always seem to play the Wolfpack a lot better than the numbers would suggest. So if I'm thinking about a stupid upset pick, this would be it.
Is that a stupid upset pick? Because they beat them last year.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because I say so.
Do you understand what a stupid upset pick
is? Yeah, if we're talking like stupid upset pick, I mean...
Well, okay, it's an upset pick in the sense that the win probability is
39%. But it's a rivalry game. Toss win probabilities out of the window.
Oh, yeah, I hate that saying, but go ahead.
Anyway, what about you guys?
It's in Vegas. It's going to be a competitive game. I think Nevada, with, like I said, I am enamored for some reason with Sean Henderson. He showed me one or two games of something really good, but it's never been able to duplicate that. They have potentially to, like, if I'm doing an early power ranking, I'd put Nevada number 2 in the West, but not overly confident. I'd probably go obviously San Diego State, Nevada, then probably UNLV as the third best team. And this will be a game. It's odds of it deciding the West, slim to none, because San Diego State should wrap it up again. But they have James Butler. They have Tyler Stewart throwing the ball. They have potential for offense to be pretty good. And obviously week 13, the final week of the year, we'll know health-wise and all that jazz. But I don't know. This is probably – this is going to be my toughest game to pick, and we're so far ahead. I will go with the home team in this game because I think it'll, it'll come down to essentially something small and minor in this game.
The cannon stays red. It's one of those things. I think UNLV has finally gotten on this like little just kind of turn. They've won the cannon for two out of the last 3 years, I think it is. And there's no way they want to give it back. This is heavy rivalry. I know what you say about Tyler Stewart, James Butler, Hashawn Henderson, but at the same time, you're possibly looking at Johnny Stanton, Keith Whiteley, Devontae Boyd as kind of the opposite of that. So, I mean, this I think this is a possibility for a huge explosion of points. And it might just come who's got the ball last, which makes for a really, really exciting game. And when I say who has the ball last, I mean – UNLV is going to finish it.
That's fine. They do lose Ian Sayal. That's a huge piece of that defense for Nevada. It's again, it's a rival game. It's going to be close. It's going to UNLV's gotten again final week stuff. Crazy stuff can happen, but if things stay relatively healthy, I gotta get a home team. And the only real factor I can see difference in this game. Like I said, both their strengths are offense. Like Chris mentioned, Butler v. Whitley, Stevens versus likely Stanton, those guys. I think it'll be UNLV having more options on the defensive side of the – receivers on the offensive side of the ball to go up against whatever Nevada throws out there. And Nevada, as we talked about, I think it was me and Matt when we did some random spring stuff, Nevada's moving away from the pistol for the most – seems like. And I think – what do they do, Matt? Like what? 60 plays and like 70 of them or 74 were passing.
Yeah,
it was, or excuse me, running. Like
something really absurd.
80%, something like 80-20 run to pass. It is spring, so it's hard to tell. But are we all going UNLV here?
I think we are.
Ooh. So let's do win total so I can write them down to put in so we know what's going on.
I think I just counted.
Chris, are you saying bowl game or not
CMU,
a bowl game?
CMU, Idaho, Fresno, Hawaii, Wyoming, Nevada. That's 7 wins, my friend. 7-5.
7-6. Or 7-5, excuse me. What do you have?
Hope or juice?
I don't know. So, there you go. You say it, UNL victory. Chris, what are you going with? Bowl game as well, maybe? I think we all agree. I think maybe 6 wins at least. Oh, sorry, I said Matt, didn't I?
I think
sorry.
I talked.
Matt,
I think I've talked to myself into bowl eligible what? UNLV.
Whoa. Okay.
So Jackson State, Idaho, Fresno State, Hawaii, Wyoming, Nevada. That's 6-6.
That is 6-6. Now for myself, going back and forth on a couple of games here, and of course my internet likes to freeze up and I can't pull up the schedule. Would I go Jackson, Central Michigan, Idaho, Fresno, Hawaii, Nevada? Does that sound right, guys?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going 6-6 as well. I do have a toss-up with San Jose State, maybe. Yeah, but I'll play it. This sounded odd, say playing it conservative with 6 wins, but... Never thought you'd hear that for UNLV football, conservatively 6
wins.
So then
what's your best case scenario for the Rebels?
If I go best case, I got the schedule finally up here. Best case, let's see, they start off 3-1.
Best case, they could be 9-3.
So that would be UCLA, San Diego State, Boise State only?
If you think about it.
You know what? I agree with that. That is the best case scenario because they get the Rams at home, they get Wyoming at home, they get Nevada at home, they get all the easier
but
games.
Worst case scenario could be 2-10
at home.
So then,
whoa. 2-10.
Okay, so what do you think has to go right to get to the best case scenario?
A little bit of luck. No, but realistically, like, I don't think it's really that. Again, it sounds odd saying it. Not, the Mountain West is not going to be extremely strong next year because here's where it comes into. They miss Air Force. They miss Utah State. That's a big deal. They miss New Mexico. Those are three pretty good teams. Who they're playing, I think for them to go right, they Johnny Stanton exceeds expectations. They find a running game and offensively that's a power running game where, like I said earlier, 1,000-plus yards. But I think the number one key, the defense has to be – it's this is almost identical to New Mexico as I'm thinking about it now. If their defense is just average, they will be a very good team because that's what New Mexico basically was. They had Jarrell Presley, Lamar Jordan, Carlos Wiggins – well, I like Wiggins a lot, but whatever, returning, he did well. I think it's defensively where they need to show up and exceed expectations. And the baseline is so low for that defense, especially the rush defense. If they're 70th in the country, that's a vast improvement. And looking who they play, what team has an amazing running back? There's a couple teams. We got Brian Hill of Wyoming, probably the final three games. Wyoming with Brian Hill, Boise State with Jeremy McNichols back there, and then Nevada, James Butler, and Pumphrey. Okay, four teams. UCLA loses Paul Perkins. I don't really know who Central Michigan has at the moment, but like we said, you Matt, earlier, the QB threw for, what, 4,000 yards? Is that right?
Pass heavy.
Just about. And so, true, but they lost their best receiver. But that's what I'm thinking. It's a rush defense, and I think it can exceed expectations because Fresno lost Martez Waller. Hawaii lost Joey Uosefa. San Jose State lost Tyler Irving. I think it's that rush defense.
Schedule sets up nicely. I mean, it always sucks to play Boise State if you're on opposite sides. But Boise State, Colorado State, Wyoming is a much better scenario than, say, Air Force, New Mexico, Utah State.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I think the key for me is as Stanton steps up and he's like one of the three best quarterbacks in the conference, which I don't think is an unreasonable ceiling. Because if UNLV can get back to that passing game that they had, you know, 3 years ago, you know, that was a team that won 8 games, right?
No, they went 6-7 when we went to the Heart of Dallas.
I thought it was like 8. I thought they were 8. I thought they finished 8-5. But you know, that's whatever their record was. That I think is the game plan that they.
As Chris furiously types away in 2014.
Yeah, and then, like I said, I think you know. Seven and six, right? So I think you know if Stanton can come in and be one of the better quarterbacks in the conference, and if the pass rush can. You know, even reach double digits, you know, and pressure a lot of these lesser QBs that they'll face, especially in the middle of the schedule where there's a lot of uncertainty, you know, that can lead to an extra win or two and, you know, push them even further into bowl eligibility, like entrench them basically.
So you never answered this question before. That doesn't make a lot of sense because the quarterbacks, who we got Brett Rippon number one, Potter, we discussed it versus Hawaii. Potter's up there pretty high. Maybe Kent Myers. Lamar Jordan runs the offense like Nate Romine, but as for QB play itself, you can't really put him too high.
I mean, so. Like I said, I think the benchmark is 60%. If Stanton can get to 60%, this is the team that could be very dangerous in conference.
Is it fair enough to say maybe the New Mexico of last year is his UNLV this year? Man, we agree on everything. So Matt, what's your? Maybe I missed it going through Chris or me chatting. What's your best case scenario? Is it also 9-3?
Yeah, 9-3, 8-4, something like that.
Okay. Rebel fans, hope you enjoy this. Hopefully, we're correct at least partially. We all have them going to a bowl game, and I think we've talked long enough. We're at 70 minutes here. We need to wrap this up, but schedule plays out nicely. Last month is pretty tough. They get a bye late, which could hurt those Rams. I think, like Chris said, he's dead on. The Hawaii, Colorado State, San Jose State, Wyoming matchups are going to be key to bowling or not bowling. So I think that's what we need to watch out. By middle of November, it'll be interesting to see where they're at. But any last tidbits we need to add or you guys have about the Rebels?
No, I mean, we've already pretty much covered it in depth of what the Rebels need to do. I think we're all kind of waiting in anticipation to see what they actually do.
That's right. UNL victory.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the one, you know, takeaway is that, you know, even if the results don't catch up to the promise this year, this is still a team that, despite the win-loss record, brought in more three-star recruits in conference than any team but Boise State. So, you know, even if the record takes a step back this year, this is a team that could be knocking on the championship door in a year or two.
Once Pumphrey and everybody leaves San Diego State, perhaps?
You never know.
So I assume we didn't discuss this, but the line was 4.5 by Five Dimes. So it looks like we're all taking the over. So, Chris, when are you heading back to the state line for us?
Early July.
I'm actually closer than you are to Nevada. So, all right. So that's our show for this evening. Preview number two. What team should we discuss next week? Should we discuss it right now?
Let's do.
Any options?
San Jose State.
Nevada? Do you have an idea? there's only one more team left. Do you want to go with them as well?
Let's do Nevada, because I think we are going to have some very serious differences of opinion on the Wolfpack.
So you don't like Hashawn Henderson at all, I take it?
To be continued.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So that's our show tonight. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. SoundCloud, iTunes. Stitcher,
Pocket Casts, Google Play, etc.
Google Play, yes. Do you guys pay for Pocket Casts?
Yes, I do.
Well, I guess you have to. It's a one-time fee, so. But it's worth it. So go to Pocket Cast, and again, leave us a review. I want more people to find out about this amazing show. If you have a buddy who likes it's a small species, a group of people who are really UNLV football fans right now. Find the ones that are on the bandwagon now and not 6 months down the road when they're going for that 9-3 record Chris predicted.
I said possibility.
So you knew who the true Rebel fans are. I said possibly for a 9-3 record that Chris predicted. As I did, possibly, if they do that well.
9-3, yes.
You said 10-2. What are you talking about? You're even better. But oh, you don't want me to say 10-2 for you? Double digit wins? All right, I'll stop putting words in your mouth, so as you're probably going to be quiet until I finish up here. That's our show for tonight. So again, mwcconnection.com. Next week, the Nevada Wolfpack.
What you want, we got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voices bow the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other. And our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Estee, they're calling out our name. Well,